In the days when we could travel overseas, there were lots of things that kind of spoke to me, little things that kind of caused me to ponder and to reflect. And one of those little things has stayed with me for quite a long time. Early in the 2000s, I was privileged to go to the UK. And I remember going on the underground, on the tube, and just about to get off the train at the station, and that recorded message comes over the PA system that says, mind the gap. That's the one. Mind the gap. Of course, encouraging us as we get off the train not to get caught in the gap between the train and the platform. But it's one of those little things that has caused me over many years to think about various gaps, not just physical gaps, but spiritual gaps, emotional gaps, gaps between what we say and what we do, all sorts of ways in which we need to be mindful of gaps. Well, there's been some gaps exposed this week in the media. I don't know if you're kind of thinking along the same lines as me, but as I've seen all the interviews and the reflections and the commentaries around that interview, there have been some gaps exposed. Gaps in the royal family, some rifts, some deeply hidden gaps that perhaps have been ignored or not acknowledged, and all of a sudden they've been exposed for the world. And what has resulted has been an even greater gulf. Now, most people have an opinion about all of that. I'm not going to share with you my opinions because I'm sure you have your own. But it's very easy to stand back, isn't it, and to look at somebody else's story and to have our opinion about those things. But while we might comment on others' failures and inadequacies, our scripture reading challenges us to look at the gaps in our own lives, the gaps between what we believe and what we do. It encourages us to mind the gaps, to become aware of our hidden values and attitudes that perhaps are at odds with the values of the kingdom of God, to see the disparity, to own the gap, and to open ourselves to God's grace and healing, that we might live out the values of the kingdom of God. So let's look at our scripture, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Jesus told this parable, a parable about two men, one rich, one poor. The rich man is unnamed, although some translations call him Dives, which is really just rich man, and the poor man is named Lazarus. You know, it's the only time in any parable that Jesus gives that he gives a name to a character. And it is intentional that it is the poor man who is named. You see, Jesus had quite a bit to say about money in this chapter, in the previous verses. And Luke says in verse 14 that the Pharisees who loved money scoffed at what Jesus had to say. In their theology, wealth was seen as a sign of God's blessing. And so the other side of that is that poverty was seen as God's displeasure or punishment on a person. So they would assume that the rich man was blessed because he deserved it, and the poor man was poor because he deserved it because he had done something wrong. But instead of naming the rich man, it's the poor man that Jesus gives that honour to. His name is Lazarus, which means God helps. So this naming of the poor man would have been quite jarring to the Pharisees' ears. This rich man in the parable is splendidly clothed and lived every day in luxury, says the scriptures. But while his body was covered with fine clothes and fine linens and purple clothing, Lazarus's body was covered with sores, the wounds of his disease. Even worse, says Luke, the dogs came and licked his sores. While the rich man feasted, Lazarus longed for the scraps that fell from the rich man's table, those bits of bread that those at the feast would wipe the grease from their hands on and throw to the floor. In our story, there is a gap between Lazarus and the rich man. The scripture calls it a gate or a door. Now, this isn't an opening to connect them. I can come and visit you and you can come and visit me. Rather, it's a barrier to separate them, a barrier to keep out the riffraff, a barrier to keep out unwanted visitors, to keep Lazarus and his kind outside. It was a physical barrier that insulated the rich man physically, emotionally, mentally, from the harsh realities of Lazarus's world, of the harsh realities of the world outside the gate. In effect, it symbolized the gulf that separated Lazarus from the rich man. Lying just outside his gate, the physical separation may have only been a matter of meters, but it might as well have been a million miles. Sick and hungry, Lazarus is as good as invisible to the rich man. So the parable goes on with a jolly ending. Both men die. But with their death, all of a sudden, their situations are reversed. Lazarus is sitting with Abraham, cared for by the angels, and the rich man is in torment. It's from this tormented position, from this vantage point, that the rich man, oh, lo and behold, he finally sees Lazarus. But not as his equal, he sees him as his errand boy, someone to serve his needs. He says, send Lazarus to give me some relief from the flames that torment me. Well, no, says Abraham, that's not how it works. When you're alive, you had good things and Lazarus had nothing. You never helped him, so why should he help you now? Every day, the rich man walked past poor Lazarus without seeing him, without caring about his condition, without doing anything to help him. He had had plenty of opportunities to reach out, plenty of chances to help, and he ignored every one of them. Well, at least let him go warn my brothers so they can repent before it's too late for them. Well, no, says Abraham. They've had plenty of warning from Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen to them, someone rising from the dead isn't going to convince them either. And there the story ends. No, and they lived happily ever after, ending to this parable. So what are we to make of it? What does it say to us? Well, it is in a chapter where Jesus speaks about the dangers of wealth. But it wasn't wealth that was the problem per se. It wasn't that the man's wealth was the problem, but it was how his wealth absorbed him. It absorbed him to the point where he was so self-preoccupied, so focused on his own affairs, so busy doing whatever his wealth required of him, that he didn't see Lazarus. How easily that can happen for us. So caught up in our own world that we can easily miss seeing others. Or even when we see someone and ask them how they are, we're often on our way before we honour them with being present to them. But to truly see another is to look beneath the facade, to see beyond or to hear beyond their words, to love them not because they are necessarily lovable, but because they are of infinite value to God and they are loved by Him. In one of the songs in our songbook, there are these words written by Malcolm Bale. What is divine about my creed if I am blind to human need? For you have said they serve you best who serve the helpless and oppressed. Another songwriter, John Hunt, said our deeds must ever match our creed. The rich man's wealth made him feel and act important, superior, blessed. And from his lofty position, he put up a gate, a gap. He closed the door to keep the less than's out. Even after experiencing the torment of hell's flames, he still treated Lazarus as less important than himself, less than. This parable is about changing the way we see, about repenting of not seeing, not caring, about turning around and changing our way so that we no longer hold on to deeply held and hidden values that say, you are not as important as me, or you are less important to God than me. That someone who is poor is less important to God than someone who is rich. That someone who is diseased or enslaved or addicted or in any kind of poverty is less important to God than someone who has not succumbed to any of these. Letting go of those prejudices that say you deserve what you've got and I deserve how blessed I am. We might say, given those kind of ideas, that this parable doesn't apply to us. But perhaps we shouldn't dismiss it so quickly. How often have we thought that our good circumstances or outcomes or rewards are for our upright living or faith? How often have we used the term, I am blessed, not to honour the giver, but as a kind of religious badge attesting to our own goodness? How often have we judged the value or character of another by how they look or speak or act? How often have we simply passed by and not seen? Despite circumstances, despite appearance, despite our inadequate and short-sighted judgments, every one of us, everyone, is a beloved child of God. To see another is to see their value in God's eyes. To see another is to open our hearts to them. To see another is to be open to the presence of God who is within them. So how are we to mind the gap? Do you know, I think there needs to be a little bit of honesty as we reflect on our own situation, as we open and look into our own hearts, a little bit of honesty. The psalmist said, examine my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And perhaps that's something we might need to do this morning, to allow God's Holy Spirit to enable us to see what lies within. To mind the gap, we might need to repent. to say, I've not been looking at things in the right way or looking at people in the right way. God, help me to turn around, to see. Perhaps part of our repentance is opening ourselves to God's grace and to His healing. To mind the gap, stay close to Jesus and learn from Him to allow His values, the kingdom values, to become our own. For me, it is as simple as that, allowing God to open my heart and staying close to Him. It is as simple as that and as challenging as that. May God bless us as we seek His heart this morning.